Our little Sammy is singing with us. That's awesome. Probably she will be a great singer, and then she will join the choir and praise band definitely in the future. She's still singing, which is great. I would just like to tell one story with you before we really dive into the message. There was a father. He decided to grocery shopping with his son. His son is not feeling so well, so he was a little bit grumpy and a little bit whining and teddy here. But still, his father felt that he needed to have his son with him. So he was pushing the cart and putting his son in the cart and pushing the cart around aisle by aisle. And then he decided to say, he was saying this, "Stay calm, George. Don't get excited, George. Do not yell, George." And he was pushing the cart. He was keep saying that. And then the woman passing by was so impressed by his patience. And so this lady decided to make a comment. "Sir, you are so patient, the father I ever met." Because the boy was kind of acting out in the cart still. And then the father was kind of puzzling and wondering. And then gave himself a little time to think. And then later, the light bulb went off. And he said, "Oh, man, the George is me. Not my boy. My boy is Bobby." Parenthood is hard. Parenting the child is hard. Whenever the babies are in good mood, that is an exceptional case. But babies are not in a good mood all the time. Ask Alvin and Karen, they are the kind of live witness right now that when baby wake up middle of the night, what do, parents? You guys needed to wake up and feed her and tender her and feed your baby and nurture them. And then if you had a baby in your life, in your upbringing, you know how it goes. When babies are not behaving, your temperature is going up, that the artery line is coming out of it, right? And that, because of that moment, we have two parents in the house. So one person could not, one person is not control themselves, another person is coming into the relationship, excuse the person with the artery on the side to be other place, and then the other partner is coming in. The person who brought up in a single parent's house like me, my mother was playing an amazing role in my life. I mean, I never saw her losing her temper over me, even though I am a strong-willed child of God. And I do obey most of the time when I was young. But it's when I grow up and getting into the teenage years, in college year, young adulthood, and I start to think, what my mom is providing is not the perfect way of providing. When I was little, my mom was the perfect person. In place of the vacancy of the fatherhood in the house, my eldest brother stepped up. He filled in the vacancy in the house. And also, many men of God in the church, they fill in that vacancy in my life. For the personal reason, I encourage everyone to make sure that your kid will be part of the faith community. In absence of you, church people can step up as a mother and father, uncles and aunties. And we have a godfathers of mothers in here too. Probably you do have too. Whenever you have some issue, instead of talking to your biological father and mother directly, probably you have someone who can hear you more objectively. Sometimes unconditional love blinds the parents to see the reality. If you are in an education program in church or in our community, you know that how our parents, who are parents of the children under your care, are so blinded. My kids are perfect. And in their sight, in a public setting, if someone says something about this child, little bit negatively, or the counselor said that your child has an issue, parents show up in the counseling office right there, say that, no, my child has no problem, but system in the school, system in the church has a problem. Unconditional love, many times, blind the parents. That is one of the reasons why we need to have a godparents around us and extended family in our lives to be objective in nurturing our children. Parents are not just the parents of adults who gave birth to a child. Parents, by definition, is the person who nurtured the person, who gave the guidelines to the person, who gave the instruction to the people around them with unconditional love. We have so many parents in this congregation. We have so many grandparents in this congregation. This message we just read in this morning is not just about, this message is not towards the fathers only. The passage we're going to be focusing on is verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And it said, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This verse is similar verses we can find in the Bible is from the Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. It said, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. Colossians said why you should not upsetting your children. Ephesians say that do not upsetting your children. In other words, do not angry at your children. It does not say that you and I as adult person around the little children avoid the things that will upsetting the children. It is not saying that we need to avoid all the things that will upset our children, but be friendly and let them have all of that, whatever they want. No, we need to upset our children when there is a safety issue. When we deal with the safety issue, we have to upset the children. When children play with the knife, we need to upset the children to take this knife away. If we silent about it, we're going to know that. We know that this child will be hurt. For that reason, we are upsetting. Sometimes this instruction we are giving to the children is not well received. Because sometimes we as a parents, grandparents, or the person who care for that our children fail to communicate while we are instructing that our children. Well, going back to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it said that children obey and honor. Obeying part, when children are not thinking by themselves and they are in the process of forming the thinking, reasoning mind, when they were young, parents, whatever they said, they're going to listen to you. But when they are getting into the preteen or teenage year, they start to question, and they are asking for the value. Why you are saying? When they were little, we ask them, why do you do what do you do? They simply said, because my mommy told me to do so. Why do you need to go to school? They said, because my mom woke me up and pushing me out of the bed and made them put stuffs in my mouth to feed them and get on the bus and go to school. Why? Because my mom says so. My dad says so. But as they are growing, coming to the high school and college year, and then these people, young people of God, they start to think, why do I need to go to college? They will be questioning new parents. You must have an answer for it. Why they need to go to church? You must have an answer for it. They are not going to go to church because you said so anymore. that is oftentimes we do not have a young people in church after the college. They are not coming back unless they have their own family to make sure that their younger child in their family will be nurtured by in the church. We often fail why questions to be answered in the church in our family. If you as a parent wanted to continuously have a good relationship with your children, dialogue with your children. Answer why question, why you say what you do, and why you say what you say. And those questions needed to be answered continuously, not because of you wanted to be challenged. Gradually they will know that, our children will know that you are not perfect. When they were young, you are God to them. You are so perfect mom and dad to them. However, when they are going into the teenage year, they will discover that you are not perfect. So don't pretend. Human to human, let's connect our children with a full heart. Do not accept whenever you are emotionally not well or not stable, do not engage any conversation with your children. Out of anger, you will regret things what you do to your children. That moment, you are going to create broken spirit in the hearts of your beloved children. Reconciling this brokenness, it will be amazingly hard. It is possible through God's help, but do not get in there. Here, Colossians chapter 3 said that it will create a broken spirit. If you have a young children or the children are around you, how can we create a broken spirit? When we do something out of anger and frustration, that moment, there is a great possibility to create a broken spirit. And also, when we have unreasonable expectation of our child, that moment, we have a great possibility to create a broken spirit of this child. Our children are different from each other. One child, they can be really good with the science. One person is very good with the music. Another person is so good with the history. The one person cannot be good at everything except God and God's Son, Jesus. And so do not expect your child to be perfect child. Just accept who they are and encourage them to do what they are good at. Instead of keep pounding at them what they are not good at, keep telling them how good they are, how gifted a person they are in a certain particular area. If you name it, this person will restore or regain the confidence in their life and they will be flourish, whatever they do, because of the confidence. We as a parents, we are in the place to reinstall the confidence, the image of God in the life of our children. Not just by word, but in action too. Oftentimes, again, whenever we do the education for the young children and youth, parents usually bring their children, especially related to the confirmation class. Parents, oftentimes, they do not part of the church life until confirmation year is coming for their children. One of the examples I would like to give, I taught at a confirmation classes at churches where I was pastoring. And at one point, I was encouraging in our confirmation classes to think through about their faith. Why they believe what they believe, why they coming to church, why they would you like to confirm their faith in this Christian church, particularly the church they are part of. And then I told them that If you are not so sure on the person, why you wanted to confirm in the church, in a Christian faith, don't confirm. Take your time. Because when you said, I do, means you do. That means that there is no gray area. You're going to hold on to your Christian faith thick and thin wherever you go, and you'll be practicing your faith. But by force or by encouragement of other people, don't do it unless you are so sure about your faith and your connection with God. And then while I was encouraging this class, one of the boys, he's all of a sudden, he was in tears. He said, Pastor Sunny, I don't want it to be confirmed. And then I asked him, why? And he asked that, I'm not so sure about my faith yet. Even I went through this confirmation class last year and this year, I'm not so sure about it. I would like to have more time to think about it. However, I will upsetting my parents by doing so, because they are expect me to be confirmed this year's class. And then I told him that, don't do it. If you are not so sure, don't do it this year. Take enough time, because you are making a commitment on your life, not the life of your parents. But I'm going to be upsetting my parents. I'm scared that I'm going to disappoint them. And then I told him that is, I will have a meeting with your parents, so don't worry about it. I respect your journey and your pace in Christian walk. So keep journey, keep wrestle with your faith walk. And I will talk to your parents about it. And then I called the parents conference with this boy. And then I told the parents, I told them about boys' concerns. And they were in tears. And at first, they were upset. And then later, they were in tears. I decided to come to church because it is a part of the confirmation journey. And a confirmation is a part of my faith tradition. They must be confirmed in this time, at this moment. But yet, I cannot push my child anymore. Regardless of that they are being confirmed in the church or not, I love them. And also they confessed that after my confirmation, the parents, they said that they drifted away from the church. They came back to church because it is a part of their family tradition to confirm their child in the church. That's why they are coming back. This child clearly see the different value system. And then if you really take the Christianity seriously, you need to take your action every day. Coming to church or not, it is another thing. But if you want your children to have a joy of salvation and then do extra great stuff more than what you do in your life, nurture them in the Lord. Today's passage clearly said that you and I, as parents, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Our great example of the parents' models is God. God loved His only begotten Son, Jesus, so much. And yet, God did not micromanage the ministry of God under Jesus' ministry, Jesus' life. He empowered Jesus and let Him do what He needed to do. When He concerned about certain things, and Jesus communicated to God. But God did not micromanage. If you love your children, let them be blossom. Encourage them and create a safe space for them to think independently in the name of the Lord, in the presence of God. Let God intervene into the life of your children. Look around us. Probably you can name one of the best mom and dad in your life. My mom was the best mom because she nurtured me and she guided me. I am who I am now because of my mom. and also my brother, because he had played a significant role in my upbringing. Probably you, as a mom and dad, grandparents, or the foster mom and dad, or the committed person as a godparents to someone, you are playing amazingly significant role on the child of the child in this era. You can touch the future through these people. If you do not create a broken spirit of the person. My upbringing is amazingly interesting, but it's especially last year when I moved from California to here. I had no one, and so my adopted mom and dad or godparents were all in California. I was not so sure how to gather myself because occasionally I needed to have someone to listen to me and guide me, even though I am self-sufficient. Probably you feel the same way. I had no connection with this community. That was scary. And also, I never driven in the snow in my life. That was scary. I was called into to the life and ministry of give life to the people, not take away their life because of my inefficiency behind the wheel. I was so scared. One of the parents I can name who nurtured me greatly and guided me greatly in this congregation is Joanne Gregorich. I really, really do appreciate your nurturing. She drove me around for 3 months. Can you believe that? Not just 3 days, 3 months. Whenever I needed to visit our sick people in the hospital, she was at my door. Take me to the place so I can be pastoring to the person who are in need. And not just that I do not drive in the snow, I was directionally challenged. I cannot go anywhere. And as she put me in, she and I was sitting in the car. She drove me the place to place. Sometimes we went to the same place, but it's every day is a new day. Everything is so new. I didn't know that I was there before. And I didn't know how to get there. She explained it to me one by one. And you know, sometimes she tried to get me the street name in my mind, make a turn on this street and that street. Bodie, what is Bodie? That was the name of the street. All the time, whenever, wherever I needed to go, the name of the street, Bodie came in. And then I didn't know that what is Bodie. And they said in the name of the street, where? There are so many streets. Go around. I said, oh my God, I cannot go around there. And then she was so patient, like the story we started in this gathering. She might say that, stay calm, Joanne. Don't yell, Joanne. Probably she said that. Don't get excited. So she realized that my learning skill is more visual than auditory. So she started to point it out. There is a 7-Eleven. When you see the 7-Eleven, make a left, and that street getting into some place. And then the landmark, you know, you start to really pop into my mind how to organize the street here and there. I am self-sufficient right now pretty much with the GPS in here because of her. Your mom and dad, grandparents, encourage your children or young adults around you to be more self-sufficient by telling yourself, stay calm, don't yell, patient. Submission is coming from God when we filled up with the Holy Spirit. Total submission will be happening, especially regaining the patience every time whenever we deal with a strong child of God around us. Without God's help, it is going to be tough. I pray that all the parents, godparents, grandparents, foster parents, the leaders who are providing the nurturing cares for the people around you to be filled up with the Holy Spirit so you can be effective parents, guide, mentor to the people around you. without creating broken spirit. In Christ's name, Amen.